Hey, welcome to this week's podcast, recorded live at Planet Shakers Church, Melbourne, Australia. For more details, check out planetshakers.com.
I want to speak to you on something that I know has really been woven into your fabric lately here at Planet Shakers. You've been talking a lot about rain, haven't you? You've been singing a lot about rain. And I really believe that this message, some of you may be going through some things in your life and you've been waiting for the rain. As a matter of fact, some of you have forgotten what rain tastes like. That you've been going through this drought. It doesn't mean you're not experiencing things, but you, in that drought, you've forgotten what rain tastes like. And I want to speak to you today on coming out of the drought and into the abundance of rain. Amen? So you're ready to receive this morning. Amen? Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 84, verses 5 through 7. Psalm chapter 84, verses 5 through 7. I want to show you my family real quick. I'm so proud of them. All the way from Houston, Texas, right? There they are. That's my beautiful family. That's our annual trip. We go to Disney every year, and we're kind of Disney fanatics. But that's my son, Corey. And Corey is 28 years old, and he's a children's pastor and serving there at Lakewood. That's my daughter, Courtney. And Courtney is an actress. And she just starred in Hamlet in Los Angeles. And I tell people, you know, when you watch Shakespeare, you don't understand what they're saying until about halfway through it, right? And then you go, wow, you know, this guy's brilliant. And so proud of her. God's really using her. And then that's my son, Connor. Now, this is a little older picture, but Connor's now 16 years old. And Connor, God is using Connor right now literally to change the world. And the best part of it, he doesn't even realize it. And that's where you want to be when you give all the glory to God and not steal any glory. You know, that's where God can use you. And then that's my wife, Samantha. And Samantha and I will be married this January, 30 years. Come on. That's a long time to live with me, right? I tell people this all the time. That's by far the longest I've ever went out with a girl. So it's a big deal, right? 30 years. But you know, I remember when we started, you know, we really started and we had dreams. You start life out and you've got plans, you've got dreams. And my wife and I, you know, we wanted to have kids when we were younger. And then because when our kids got to get in college, we thought, wow, we'll be able to travel, we'll be able to do ministry, all these things together. And how many knows that a man can make his plans, but God orders, right? Ultimately, your steps. And you know, we planned all these things out, but God had a different plan. And I think that everybody in this room can identify with that. Where you started is maybe not where you're at right now, but God had it planned out all the time, right? And so, you know, we had two kids, and we had a boy and a girl, and we were so excited and everything. By the time they were 10 and 12, we were done having kids. And then I went to get a vasectomy on a Thursday, went to the doctor on a Thursday to be done having children. And then my wife came in crying on the following Saturday. And she said, Craig, you won't believe this, but I'm pregnant. And then I started crying and it got really bad from there, right? And we were consoling each other, but you know, after we got through the shock, you know, we were so excited to have our son, Connor. And I remember at that time, you know, I didn't see what was ahead. I couldn't see what God was going to do and how God was going to use this child and how God had switched our plans. But God saw it long before. And I didn't realize something else. I didn't realize that we were about to go into a drought of epic proportions. I didn't realize that God was wanting to prepare us for something, and so he had to take us through this. And how many knows this? Sometimes in life, things don't always go as planned, do they? You thought you walked through one door, and it seemed like life took a wrong turn. And you found yourself in the desert, a drought maybe of epic proportions. And some of you in the room, you've been in a place, and maybe you're in that place right now. you feel like there's adversities from every side. Maybe that's why you come to this church, because you're looking, you know you're coming into a church of faith, of hope, and you know you're coming to a place that can break you out of that. And so that's why you're here right now, but you're still in that drought. You're still dealing with that drought. Maybe it's a relational drought. Maybe you're struggling physically and you've struggled for a long time. And maybe you're in a place where financially you've just been battling and it doesn't seem like you've seen the breakthrough, or maybe you're believing for a family member to come back to Christ. I love this scripture in Psalm chapter 84, verses 5-7, because it really talks about how you respond to deserts and droughts in your life. And it starts out in verse 5 where it says, "Blessed is a man whose strength is in you." That's one of the first things you've got to understand in a drought. You know, what we tend to do is we want to fight the battle that God was meant to fight. So what we do when we face overwhelming circumstances and we're in a drought, we start throwing punches of worry, right? We start throwing punches of anxiety. We start throwing, we're staying up in the middle of the night and we're walking, you know, the floor, and we're trying to figure it all out and everything. But see, here's the thing you've got to remember. You're not in the desert to die. You're in the desert so God can show you a new way to live. But he's getting you ready for something bigger. You don't see it right now. And see, here's the deal. You could not handle what God is about to give you unless he prepared you and built you up. If he gave it to you too soon, you would lose what he gave you. But he had to walk you through this time and this period to get you ready for the mighty work that he wants to do in your life. See, it's not just about you. It's for all the people that you're going to touch because of your testimony. All the people that are going to be influenced and impacted by what God's bringing you through. The scripture goes on to say right here, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. See, the truth of the matter is some droughts are short. Sometimes you go through a drought and it's only 4 to 6 months. Some droughts are longer. But here's the key and here's the truth that I've found in my life that you have to do in a drought. Don't give up. Don't give up. People ask me, Craig, you know, can you tell me a key of success? I can tell you one of the best keys to success, and it's not giving up. It's persevering. It's, because somewhere along that road, if you won't give up, even though you don't see it, God will meet you at a crossroads right there. And when God meets you, something powerful will begin to happen. And those times where you just kept on trusting, you kept on believing, God says, oh man, I honor that right there. I see that right there. See, what we want many times when we're in the middle of a drought is we want grace for 2 weeks from now, and we want grace for 2 years from now. We're asking God to give us this grace, but here's the truth. The children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, God only, and they went into this little wilderness, God didn't give them manna for 2 weeks. And he didn't give them manna for 2 days. He gave them manna for that day. You know why? Because it isn't about whether you're going to come out, because if you're trusting God, he's going to get you there. It's, are you trusting God or are you trusting your own self? It's totally about dependence. So the flesh is going to say, I can figure this out. I can work through this. I'm going to go to a good conference, or I'm going to go to something that's going to help me bring. And it might do that. It might do that. But God's saying, when you begin to depend upon him and you've got no other choices and you've tried everything else, let me tell you something. That's where God can work. That's where he can do a masterpiece in your life. That's where he does his best work, is when you've come to the end of yourself, that's when he comes in. See, God wants you to come to the end of yourself today. I don't know what you're walking through. I don't know what you're dealing with. But if you can lay it all down, if you can put that down, let God begin to take that. The scripture goes on right here as they pass through the Valley of Baca. See, the Valley of Baca, the scripture speaks of right here, was actually part of the desert country. And it was filled with thorns and wild animals and vipers and all different sorts of danger. And it was nearly impossible to walk through this valley without suffering some sort of extreme hardship. But here's the interesting part. This valley was actually the only passageway into the high hills where Israel's city of refuge was located. And some scholars state that the Valley of Baca was also representative of the valley that led to the city of Jerusalem, where the temple of God is found. See, we can't see it when we're walking through it. We can't see the high hills. We can't see the temple. And so when we're walking through the desert, what does the enemy want to do? He wants to stop you in the middle of the desert. He doesn't want you to get to your victory. He wants you to become victimized by the situation. So what he does, he's a garbage collector, isn't he? He loves to pick up garbage and throw it on you. Look at what you did. Look at how you made a mistake. Look, you haven't even come that far. You're never going to get there. And he loads you down. And what happens is when you're loaded down with garbage, you tend to look down, right? And the problem with looking down, you can't see where you're going. If you look straight ahead, well, that's better, but at least you're looking straight ahead. But the only problem is you can only see so far. You can't see the city of refuge. But let me tell you something. When you're going through a drought and you can look up, see, that's where your redemption draws nigh right there. See, that's where God is. See, he sees it before you ever get there. He's like a chess master, right? He knows how the game ends after about 4 or 5 moves. If you look at a chess master, man, they can see how the game ends after about 4 or 5 moves. Here's the deal. God knows how your story ends. And it doesn't end in defeat. It ends in victory. You are an overcomer through Jesus Christ. He's got you right now. You don't see it, but he sees it. He knows it. He knows that what was meant for evil, he's going to turn around for good. Come on, somebody. If you believe that today, tell him right now. Now, here's the key. Here's another key right here. I'm giving you like a playbook if you're walking through something right here. Here's the key. The scripture goes on and says, they make it a spring. I love that. How do you make it a spring when you're in the middle of a desert? Well, many people ask, you know, Pastor Craig, tell me my purpose in life. And scripture clearly talks about what our purpose is, what we're supposed to do, and that's give thanks in everything. So if you want to make it a spring in the desert, one of the greatest things that you can do is give God praise when you're in the middle of the desert. See, that's not the easy thing to do, but that's what God requires us to do. Let me tell you something. Not only, if you can give God praise when you're in the middle of the desert, not only will you make it a spring, but what you'll do is you'll build a reservoir, right? And see, that reservoir will be there for you on the next desert you go through, and you won't have to respond the same way that you did in this desert because you've got a reservoir. I'm speaking to somebody today. Man, if you're walking through the desert, can you praise him one more time? Can you give him thanks for what he's done? Can you look at what's right in your life and not what's wrong in your life? See, when you can give thanks in the middle of the desert, that's when God can work in your life. Amen? That's when God can do it. Amen. And then it leads you to the final part right here. And what happens when you do that? And they go from strength, woo, to strength. See, they get stronger. You get stronger. It's like a fight. Once you've won one battle, you know what? You don't look at that battle the same way. Once you've walked through one desert and you've overcome that, you don't look at the next desert the same way. See, once you've conquered it, you move from a survivor to an overcomer. Your test becomes your testimony. You live in the vision and not in the circumstance. And I'm telling you right now, God is looking at victors out here right now. They're going from strength to strength to strength. And some of you today, maybe you're facing an overwhelming drought. I remember being there. I'll never forget when we had our son Connor. And, you know, Connor was just like our other two kids. He was awesome. He would have other playmates come over and play with him. He would give us a hug and a kiss and show so much emotion. He would say, I love you, mommy and daddy. And he had so much language. Then about 2 years old, we had just come from California and moved to Lakewood, and we had just started our job there. And I'll never forget, you know, they were talking about that we were going to double in our church in one weekend from about 25,000 to 50,000 people. How many can say overwhelming, right? That sounds impressive, but when you got to raise up volunteers, that's overwhelming. And so it felt like it was a good storm, but it felt like a storm. And then about 6 months into it, my son, who would play with other playmates, now he started just playing by himself. And he'd sit by himself and look off and stare off at the wall, where he would give us a hug and a kiss and show so much emotion. Now he stopped showing any emotion whatsoever. And he would look away from us, wouldn't even look at us. Where he would say, "I love you, Mommy and Daddy," and he'd say so many different words. Now he stopped talking altogether. The only way I can really describe it, it's the best way that I describe it, was like a bad car wreck, where one day your child's one way, another day your child's another way. And just like so many families that deal with it, you know, we soon got the diagnosis that it was autism and he was on the middle of the spectrum. I'll never forget, you know, this is when we're walking through that drought that we didn't expect. And I remember, you know, my wife called me on the phone and she just got the diagnosis. And how many knows with a diagnosis, it feels like finality, even though it isn't. And this is what the enemy wants to make you think. If you've got a, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but if you've recently got a diagnosis, the enemy's telling you it's over. And I'm here to tell you right now, it's not over until God says it's over. And I remember being in that car and she tells me that, and here comes the enemy, doesn't he? I mean, you get that diagnosis, you're going through it. He just starts speaking into your ear and he says, "Craig, your son won't be like your other kids. Your son's life will be worthless. He'll never do anything. People in society will reject him and reject you. Your child will have no purpose in life." And see, here's a choice that you have right there in the middle of the desert. And here's the power of being a part of a church like Plant Shakers. See, your pastor doesn't speak that language. He speaks hope. He speaks life. He speaks overcoming, right? And that's what our church does. Pastor Joel speaks life. He speaks hope. So when that was going in one ear, I begin to remember all the messages that my pastor spoke. And he said this: "You're not a victim. You are a victor. You can do all things through Christ. You are an overcomer in Jesus." And I'm telling you, instead of listening to those voices, I hit the gas in my car. I drove up the driveway. I remember going up to my son's room, my two-year-old son. I picked him up in my arms and I said, "Son, you will do great things in life. You are the apple of God's eye. You are a victor and not a victim. You will do great things." And it was a surge. It was God saying that it was going to be okay. Of course, when my son stopped speaking, he struggled because he knew what he wanted to say, but he couldn't get it out. So he would point at things and he would get so frustrated that he started having these terrible meltdowns. And we were trying everything. We were trying everything we could, and we were dealing with everything from potty training. Look, it's 24/7 as a special needs parent. We know what we're dealing with. We know the refrigerator that comes on our back when we have to walk through things. What families like mine are looking for every week is we're looking for hope every week, and we're looking for hope that God can bring. And I remember during that time, it got really bad where he was about 5 years old and he had a terrible meltdown at the grocery store, and he got so frustrated, he started banging his head on the floor and everybody was staring at him like he was a freak, and it wasn't their fault. It's just when things, you know, it's human nature. When things are different, we don't know how to respond. But my wife is just trying to get him out of the store, and she comes home that day and she says, "Craig, I'm not sure if I can take it anymore." She said, "I'm not sure if I can take it anymore. Seeing my son do that." And I remember, you've got to realize with my wife, she's my hero. She's one of the strongest people you ever meet. And I remember that she was just saying that off of frustration. She wasn't ready to give up. But I remember driving to work that day, and as I drove to work, I had the most intimate conversation I've ever had with God, and it was like he was sitting in the seat next to me, and I just asked God why. Have you ever asked God why when you're going through something? Not why we had our son, but God, why is he struggling so much? And I'll never forget what God spoke to me, and he said this. He said, "Craig, your child is not a burden. Your child is a gift." I said, "God, I know what you mean. We love Connor, but God, we've tried everything. We're trying everything. God, I mean, we were in the desert, man. We were in an epic drought. And God spoke to me again. He said, Craig, your child is not a burden. Your child's a gift. He said, you're looking at everything that's wrong with him. You're not looking at everything that's right. I said, God, what do you mean? He said, I'm going to use your son to reach millions of people. Now, you've got to realize, I didn't see it. And even as a pastor, it was just a vulnerable time. And I didn't see it. And I remember picking up a bottle of water. And I said, God, my son can't even ask for a drink of water. How's he going to reach millions of people? And I'll never forget what God spoke to me. He spoke to me four words. And these are the four words he'll speak to you when you ask why. These are the four words he'll speak to you whenever you're in the desert. Whenever you need that cool cup of water, he'll speak to you these four words. And he just said this, do you trust me? You know, I didn't give him the pastoral answer, right? I didn't have it. But I said, God, unless you heal my son, there is no cure for autism, but I trust you. And I remember after speaking to God, I thought things were going to get better, right? Have you ever been there? And it gets worse. Here's the testing time. Here's a time where you're going to trust him, right? It gets worse. And I remember the meltdowns got worse. Everything got worse. And I remember during that time, I couldn't even pray elaborate prayers. All I could say was, I trust you. Or I would speak the name of Jesus. And I found out with God that was enough. If you can speak the name of Jesus in whatever you're walking through, his name is powerful. It's above everything. It can do things that no other name can do. It can raise heaven to the highest place and bring down hell to the lowest valley. I'm telling you, speak the name of Jesus and watch what he can do. And about 3 months later, after walking through this, my wife comes calling from upstairs and she said, Craig, get up here. I thought something was matter. I said, I run upstairs. She's crying. I said, what is it? She said, I was putting Carter to bed. I was reading him a couple books. And she said, Craig, all of a sudden he began to speak. He began to say one word after another word, one sentence after another sentence, one paragraph after another paragraph. Now, you've got to realize, I haven't heard my son put together more than two words in 3 years. And tears started to roll down my cheeks, and I said, what do you mean he began to speak? And she said, Craig, he spoke. And I said, what did he say? And I'll never forget this. Pastor Rudy, she walked me over to his bed, and she leaned over his bed and she said, Connor, say it for mommy and daddy. Say it again. And then my little five-year-old boy looked up and he actually looked at us. And all of a sudden he began to speak. And he said, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never in Jesus' name. Come on, church. That was his first words he spoke. That was no accident. That was no accident. What God did right there. See, in the middle of my desert, the God of the breakthrough came right in. He gave us something to talk about. That's what he'll do in your desert when you trust him. He'll give you something to talk about to sustain you as you go along. And I remember speaking at Lakewood Church 2 weeks after that, and I spoke on the God of the breakthrough. That the time you don't expect it, God will break through. And we showed a video of Connor speaking for the first time. And I don't know about you, but we're criers at Lakewood, right? Pastor Joel's crying so hard on the front seat. And he walks up to me afterward. He said, Craig, can I speak about this? And I said, absolutely. And he spoke about, and about 40 million people watch him through different avenues every month. And that video went viral around the world. And millions of people heard my son's testimony. And we started getting emails from Cambodia and all across the world how it touched them. But see, I didn't remember what God spoke to me in the car. But about a couple months later, we're at Chicago White Sox Stadium for a night of hope, 50,000 people there. And Pastor wanted us to walk out on the field as they told my son's testimony. As I was watching, I don't know why I'm getting emotional about it, because I remember it, but as I was watching, I saw all these people crying and being touched by my son's testimony. And I'll never forget, as I walked on in the field, God stopped me. He said, Craig, remember when you were in the car? remember when I told you, trust me. He said, I never go back on my word. When I say I'll do it, I'll do it. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you have heard God tell you, don't give up. Keep walking. Keep going. God's got you. He will never go back on his word. Come on, church, if you believe it, give him a shout of praise today. But how many knows this? The droughts aren't over, right? You get through one, you got another drought. We were dealing with these droughts of the meltdowns, and we were dealing with this drought of him not being potty trained, and it was so heavy on us. And I'll never forget speaking to God, and I said, God, we need help. And I ended up in Washington, D.C. with a friend of mine. He's an author and pastor. His name's Mark Batterson. And I was telling Mark about my son. And Mark says, man, you need to read this book that I it's not even out yet. But he said, you need to read this book. I'm going to give you one as you fly home. And I read it. It was about this guy, Honai. He was called the Circle Maker. And it was about how in Jewish history for an entire year, they had not had rain for an entire year. And they had tried everything. But this eccentric sage takes a 6-foot staff, and he begins to draw, walks down the town circle and begins to draw the largest circle that he can draw. And then he gets in the middle of the circle and he begins to pray 3 bold prayers. And this is what God spoke to me. He said, Craig, if you want to come out of drought, the first thing you need to do is pray bold prayers. Not just get by prayers, but pray bold prayers. Psalm 34, it says, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. Psalm 22 says, they cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. See, droughts are not the time to complain. They are the time to proclaim. There is no power in complaining. Complaining is the language of the disempowered. And God said, I want you to be in pray bold prayers. And so Honai began to do this, and he prayed 3 bold prayers. And he said, first one, Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name that I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy upon your children. And for the first time in a year, all of a sudden, rain began to fall down. And they experienced rain, and the people were looking up. But Honai knew that God was bigger than that. Because some people, they need a flood, not just a little bit of rain. Some of you in this room, you don't need just a little bit of rain. You need a flood in your life, a flood of God's mercy, a flood of his grace. And so he prayed a second prayer. He said, not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain that will fill cisterns and pits and caverns. And all of a sudden, the sprinkle turned into a torrential downpour. And the rain began to fall. But Honai knew that God was bigger than that. He knew they needed a reservoir for future deserts to come. So he prayed a third, more refined prayer. And he said, not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain of your favor, your blessing, and your graciousness. And all of a sudden it began to rain calmly and peacefully. Each raindrop was a tangible token of God's grace, healing, hope, love, and peace. And then I thought to myself, if God can do it for Honai, can't he do it for me? And so I began to draw my circle. But here's the problem. I didn't have a 6-foot staff. But what I did have, I had dry mop in the closet right there. And I took this dry mop and we began to walk and we began to draw our circle. We didn't draw a small circle. We drew a big circle. You know why? We serve a big God, don't we? And we drew it around my son's room. And then we drew it around our house. And we drew it around our car. People thought we were crazy. But let me tell you something. If you want to come out of the drought, sometimes you got to get a little crazy for God to do the work that he wants to do. You got to have some crazy faith and be willing to step out and say, I don't care what it looks like. I'm coming out of this drought and into the abundance of rain. So we drew our circle. Second thing God told me to do, he said, Craig, I want you to speak my word. How many knows this? The word of God is powerful. Sharper than a two-edged sword. And so I'd seen Mama Doty, she's our matriarch of our church. She had metastatic cancer of the liver, and what she did every day when she got that diagnosis, she took 30 healing scriptures from the Bible, and every day she put a Bible down the floor and she would stand on it, standing on the word of God, and she would speak those 30 healing scriptures. Two or three months later, she went back to the doctor. And she was completely healed of metastatic cancer of the liver. And so I started thinking again, if God can do it for Honai, If God can do it for Mama Doty, can he do it for us? So we start drawing our circle. We start praying bold prayers. We start speaking these healing scriptures. Little did I know, not only was God listening, Connor was listening. And he began to memorize these 30 healing scriptures. He began to equate them to what it meant to him. And one day he cut his foot. And we said, Connor, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Connor goes, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and they will pray over him. And he began to speak these scriptures. And we begin to draw our circles and we begin to speak the scriptures. And then all of a sudden, one day, it was about 3 months later, where my son had not went to the bathroom by himself. He walked from outside in the backyard, walked right past us to the bathroom and went to the bathroom for the first time by himself and has been doing it ever since. One drought over. Now the big one. We kept on drawing. You can't stop. You've got to keep on believing in faith. We kept on drawing our circles. We kept on speaking the word of God. And it was like God took his finger and he hit a red button and he said, this drought of his meltdowns is over. And sure enough, my son, after that day, has not had meltdowns since like that ever again. You say, Pastor Craig, what am I saying to you? What are you saying to me today? I don't know. Get your dry mop. Get your broom. If you like cricket, get your wicket. I mean, get whatever you can. Begin to draw your circle. See, I want you to begin to pray bold prayers. Don't draw a small circle. Draw a big circle because we serve a big God. Come on now. And I want you to begin to pray bold prayers. I want you to begin to speak the word. You say, Pastor Craig, why? If God could do it for Honi, if God could do it for Mama Doty, if God could do it for me, he do it for you today. Come on, church. If you believe it, give him a big praise.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Planet Shakers Church, Melbourne, Australia. For more details, check out planetshakers.com.